Salam and good evening to you, worthy friend. Please, please, come closer.
Too close, a little too close.
Hello and welcome to the 35th edition of the Disney Brit Podcast for Wednesday the 17th of February 2010. Of course, as always, we're going to start off with our news and rumours. Juz and Craig are going to join me for that. And then we're going to give you a Mouse Meets update. We haven't given you one on the show for a little while. Got some great things to announce about some of the specifics of the event, new sponsors, new events, etc, etc. I'm going to bring you that. Then bring you the audio diary of my trip out to Walt Disney World, day 17 and 18 together. Only short, but we're getting very, very close to the end of those audio segments. Want to get them finished off as soon as we can. And then the last section of the show, we're going to continue with our Around the World in 80 Segments show, where we look at Adventureland's rides, shows and attractions. And that will pretty much round off the show. So, without any further ado, let's get on with this edition of the Disney Brit Podcast.
Flexible, simple, valued, secure, honest, and trusted. They are some of the words that people think of when they book their Orlando holiday. And they are exactly the same words that people associate with CompleteOrlando.co.uk. With staff available 7 days a week, there are no better people to use. Contact the Orlando experts on 0800-294-8888. Or visit www.CompleteOrlando.co.uk.
Good morning, sire.
Good morning, Zazu.
Checking in with the morning report.
Fire away.
Welcome to the news and rumours then for this edition of the show. Not so much news this time, but as always, the wisdoms, the oracles of the Disney world join me. It's Juz. Hello, Juz.
Hi, Adam. Hello, Disney pop people.
And hello, Craig.
Hello, everyone. Good evening. I hope you're all well.
It's the other one.
No, we're not going to carry on with that. We're going to leave that.
That was now. The other show.
That was the other show. We'll leave it for an episode, and then we'll come back to the next time in Orlando. You both
all
right? You both well?
I think so.
Okay.
Craig, yeah, are you well?
I think I'm all right, Juz. Thanks for asking.
I'll mention it, mate. Anytime.
Cheers.
Right, let's get on with some news then. We're going to head in and do the usual bits and pieces. We're going to take it in turns, as we have been doing the past few episodes, and we're going to start off randomly with Craig.
Oh, right, Disney news to me. Okay, I've got some good news here. UK cinema chains have threatened to ban Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland from the screens over a dispute with Disney.
How is that good news?
A dispute with... we'll get on to it in a minute. I've got my views as why this is good news. The dispute with the Odeon, the... Vue and Cineworld. I don't go...
The biggest cinema chain.
Oh, really? Not Odeon?
Part owned by Warner Brothers. Am I right in thinking that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, they've spelt it wrong anyway. It's V-I-E-W. Just so they know. with Disney stems from the film company's attempt to cut the 17-week gap between the cinema and DVD release to 12 weeks. However, Odeon and Vue have already pulled all trailers and posters for the film from the cinema, while Cineworld also said to be against the shorter window for DVD release. reports The Guardian. Cinema chains have already won a battle late last year when they threatened to pull Disney's A Christmas Carol from their screens if the animated film Up was given an early DVD release. But it seems Disney are ready to play hardball this time. They've reported to have given cinema chains a 12-week take-it-or-leave-it deal. Disney's distribution chief, Bob Chapek, said, "We feel it is important for us to maintain a healthy business on the exhibition side and a healthy business on the home video side. We remain committed to theatrical windows with a need for exceptions to accommodate a shortened time frame on a case-by-case basis, such as with Disney's Alice in Wonderland." Disney argued the film, which is due out on March 5th, will fail to attract a big cinema audience during the early summer months because of the World Cup and want to shorten the theatrical window.
So why is this good news then, Craig?
Well, it's good news because if it isn't in the theatres, it'll come out on DVD straight away, so you'll get to see it sooner.
That's true.
Or why don't they just put it out in the say, okay, you can have 17 weeks. Once it's up to 12 weeks, release the DVD anyway. I can't see the cinemas going to stop them then. It's done.
What do you think, Jez?
I think stuff all the big cinemas, give it the little independents and the community cinemas, let them make all the money in for 12 weeks. How dare they dictate what someone else's business and someone else's product decide to do with it.
I'm kind of with you on that, and I'm looking at that from that same viewpoint. If you think about what happened last time, if they released Up early, then they were going to cancel Christmas Carol. Well, Disney, I think, knew that Christmas Carol wasn't necessarily going to do as well as some of the other movies they released, and were probably a little worried about the revenue it'd bring in, so maybe back down. But let's be fair, Alice in Wonderland, you know, I can't wait to see Alice in Wonderland. If my local View and Odeon decide to pull it, that's fine. I'll just go to another cinema. Is it me, or are these big cinema chains throwing the dummy out the pram and stamping their foot and actually are just going to shoot themselves in the foot by pulling what is arguably one of the biggest movies so far this year?
I mean, what's going to happen? Universal and Paramount are going to sit there and go, do you know what, you can take that attitude where you won't give your films. And hang on, if cinemas don't have films, do they have a business model other than popcorn? Well, get over yourselves.
It's a very good point, isn't it?
And nachos. Don't forget the nachos. But yeah, no, give them to the locals. And we have, where I live, we've got a small little cinema which has gone through many different ownerships. Now it's been taken over by the council, as it's in one of the local theatre here. Mm. And that'd be ideal, you know. It's cheap, popcorn's a pound a box. You know, you go there with the kids, you buy a family ticket, 12 quid, two adults, two children, and it's a great little thing. So, you know, I probably would have gone to see it there anyway, to be honest with you, rather than go to Odeon, which is a bit of a trek away. But, yeah, no, do that. I think Disney aren't going to lie down and take this. It's their film. They'll decide who shows it.
If Disney wants to give me a copy, I'm more than happy to play it in my living room and people can come and pay £5 to watch it. That's fine with me as well. Right, let's head into Walt Disney World then. First bit of news. This is seriously the most exciting news that has come out of Walt Disney World in the whole of this year. And that is that the parking lot at the TTC, Transportation and Ticket Centre, has been completely resurfaced over the past couple of weeks. New service has improved markings and directional signs. They now moved on to World Drive. So although we're laughing and joking about the fact that resurfacing is news, there is one thing, is that they've now moved to World Drive. So do be aware, if you're planning on going over to Walt Disney World over the next maybe month or so, to be aware that there may be additional traffic on World Drive getting past some of the work that they're doing on there. There we go. Nothing really to comment on that, I don't think, is there?
Yeah, car park is going to go up $2 more to cover it, isn't it?
There is that. Yeah, maybe it will.
And I did lose count of the amount of potholes in the TTC last time over there, so it really must have been urgent to do it.
Well, yes, especially as they've done the whole of the TTC. What does that place hold? 20,000 parking spaces? So that's a lot of concrete. They're keeping it the upkeep. But I wonder whether they've had an increase in people complaining about damage to cars, etc. So they've done it. I don't know. I don't know what the whole reason behind it is. I suppose it's cooler time of month, which means they haven't got to deal with the heat, etc. So there we go. Right, Juz, what you got?
The Breathless 2 boat is currently out of service for unforeseen maintenance, which probably means it sank. This will mean that the Breathless 2 Illumination cruise, you have to take your own block dinghy and go out on it. won't be available until boat returns to service. It's kind of, in some ways, quite obvious, really, you know, unless it is a dinghy or something.
Also to note, Disney have introduced a new diving experience over at the Boardwalk, of which you can go and have a look at Breathless 2.
Yeah. We'll just swim out and watch Illuminations.
How great would that be? You can't actually watch Illuminations now from Breathless 2. They just stick you on the Inferno barge, just on the end.
Yeah, nice and warm.
It's a shame it's gone down. If it's unforeseen maintenance, it must have been a big problem.
Yeah, someone crashed it.
It's definitely something that's just been unforeseen.
Good, but I know recently on Disney's Twitter as well, it seems that Breathless has been used a lot less, sort of towards the middle of the day, especially in the UK. On the Disney Twitter, it's been saying Breathless 2 is available from the dock this evening, ring this number, etc. So it's obviously been a downturn in business for it, but if it's an unforeseen maintenance, it'd be interesting to know what that is.
So many jokes about Breathless you can't make on this podcast.
Craig.
Restaurant changes at Colorado Springs. As of the 23rd of February, May Grill breakfast will change from a buffet to an a la carte style.
Anybody eating at May Grill?
No.
I've not eaten there either, Jez.
Sorry, I wasn't paying attention. I was reading the Saki cat comments that Craig put on Skype.
I know, which we also can't read out on the show.
No,
I don't think I've eaten there. But interesting looking new menu. There's some nice looking stuff on there. It's a lot of sort of obviously Mexican flavoured inspired stuff, which is nice. We have got, this is I suppose one of the biggest bits of news, which I'm going to bring you now, which was from the What's New, What's Next event that happened only recently. It happened over at the ESPN World Wide World of Sports, and that is about what is coming in the summer. It's a brand new event, the Summer Nightastic. The name of the event's actually been taken from what happened over at Disneyland in California. There's a couple of summers they've done it, and they call it Summer Nightastic. And there's some new and some updated and slightly altered additions coming. Firstly, is that Meg Crofton has announced that as of around June of this year, the Main Street Electrical Parade will be returning to Walt Disney World. It's his first time it's been there since 2001. The parade's going to be led by Tinkerbell. She's going to be in a basket with some magical balloons. There's going to be a Pinocchio and Snow White parade. It's going to be added to it as well. So it'll be interesting to see just what they're going to do there. They have to change some of the music slightly because of the new characters that have been added. So that obviously be that similar Main Street Electrical Parade feel, but with a slightly updated version. So hopefully they'll be releasing that version as well. Over at Hollywood Studios, Twilight Zone Tower of Terror has got a new drop sequence that's being added just for Summer Nightastic. So if you're there in the summer, go and experience this, because it's the only time you're going to be able to. From what we understand, it's going to go completely after this Summer Nightastic event has happened. There's also going to be some new lighting effects that are in there, but we don't know what they are yet. There's nothing else been advertised about that. The fireworks over at the Magic Kingdom are, again, they're changing. They are usually wishes. They're changing to a new fireworks spectacular. Although Disney haven't announced what the new thing is, there are rumours that apparently it is going to be the Magic Music and Mayhem fireworks from the Pirates and Pirates and Princesses party that hasn't performed since 2008. It was an extremely popular version of the fireworks. Some people have said it's one of the best fireworks displays that the Magic Kingdom offers. It has 360 degree fireworks, and it's likely that the fireworks are going to be going off from the perimeter, from as far over as Splash Mountain all the way over to Space Mountain. It's supposed to be a phenomenal fireworks display. And also, the Sounds Like Summer concert is coming back to Epcot. They had some of the sort of tribute bands there last year. Tom Petty won. There was a Bjorn again, I think, was there as well. And I think one of the interesting ones for me is that Disney's Animal Kingdom is going to be getting later hours several times a week. So you're going to be able to ride things such as Expedition Everest in the dark, which is something that happens very, very rarely in the summer months. So some nice new exciting opportunities for the summer.
Yeah, don't go to Harry Potter, come to Disney.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I've the last blog post I put up on the Iron Orlando really looks at this whole reason behind why Disney have done this and compares it to what's happened with Harry Potter. And I think you're dead right. I think that's exactly what Disney are doing, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. And probably rightly so. They're not doing anything else this year, so, yeah. I mean, there's some great changes there as well, I'd say.
Yeah. Craig, you know, I know you're obviously there in the summer. Is this going to make you want to go back to see the Main Street Electrical, etc.?
Oh, I loved it when it was there. I can remember, you know, seeing it many times at Walt Disney World, and it used to, you know, circle around from there to California and back again. So I love that. It's one of my favourites. The kids have never seen it, so I like seeing that. Tower of Terror, as you know, one of our favourite rides. So that'd be cool to try that. I mean, it's all good. I don't think there's anything there that's thinking, oh, I don't want to do that. I probably want to see all of it. So, yeah, I mean, I would have gone there anyway, and I think people are going to go there will go there anyway. I see no reason to go there as opposed to going to Universal because it's stuff you'd like to see. Expedition Everest in the Dark will be quite cool. So, yeah, all good. All good.
I'd be interested to know if this new drop sequence of Tower of Terror is the only one they're going to run or whether it's still going to be random and you might get to try the new drop sequence or you might not, meaning there's that sort of re-rideability of going on until you get the new drop sequence in there. Also, with this Magic Music and Mayhem, I'm glad they're sort of bringing that back because it only had that two-year limited run before it sort of completely disappeared. But, as we said, you know, this is Disney. I think they've very, very cleverly done this. Because if you look at what they've spent, you look at what they're going to spend, and look at the development and research that's had to go into a lot of this, it's very, very minimal. They've overhauled a lot of stuff. They're bringing back stuff that they had previously. And they're really bringing some great new things to take people to Walt Disney World over the summer without spending out a whole lot of money. So well done to them. Definitely give them a round of applause for that. Juz, heading over to you.
Yeah, just to let you know, the Disney Magic was due to arrive in Port Canaveral on Saturday morning, ready for new passengers to set sail on the evening of Saturday the 13th of February, but it hit a small vessel, later described as breathless too.
How did it get into the middle of the boardwalk? It's
so far off course, Illumination's crew's gone wild. It's been 3 days now, come on. Adverse weather meant that Disney Magic was held up and the boarding of Disney Magic would not be till the 14th of February, Valentine's Day. Passengers on board were reportedly offered. Now, I'm assuming this is all of this, not choose from one of the below.
No, as far as I know, it was all of it.
All right, because the first one, free daily cell phone service to make alternative travel arrangements, a 20% discount on future cruises, and help on boarding arrangement and return travel if the passengers arrive through Walt Disney World. Passengers who were delayed and were not board till the Sunday and now only get a 6-day rather than 7-day cruise were to be offered. This is quite good, I thought.
Yeah.
Free hotel stay Saturday either on or off Disney property. Duh, it's going to be on Disney property, isn't it? A free day at Epcot for the entire party. $20 per person on board credit for the meal they would have gotten Saturday night. The credit could be used anywhere. $100 per stateroom on board credit. A 20% refund and the option to cancel the cruise without penalty and with a full refund. I presume that's an all at the end, otherwise you could take all the top four and then just go, thanks for, I'm cancelling now.
Yeah. Interesting.
As you get off.
It's interesting you say you would have chosen on Disney property. A bit more information sort of came out after this. We sort of found this news, which was that apparently if you were already staying on Disney property, you got a hotel on property. If you weren't staying on Disney property and you were just going there for the cruise, you were given an off-property hotel.
That's not very nice.
Oh, well, I don't know. That's what. And the Wonders of Life Pavilion, that defunct little dome in the corner of Epcot, was opened to deal with all the guests and all the luggage and everything, so they were reusing it for something. Shame they didn't open any of the attractions as well, but I'm glad to see, you know, Disney have got a contingency in place. This must be something they've planned previously for it not just to happen. There's a lot there for them to have to put into place very, very quickly.
Yeah, yeah. It's a downside of cruises, really, though, isn't it?
Oh,
you
really?
Always run the risk of the weather. And to be honest, at the moment, down Florida, the weather's been very bizarre.
Hmm. And I suppose the people who are on board got 2 days at Castaway Key instead of the usual one, so I suppose they're not complaining too much. But, you know, glad to see that Disney have done something about it and have really been able to work this. Does this put you off going on a cruise, Craig, you know, knowing that there could be an issue with you maybe returning home?
Ever. I think the only thing I probably do is make sure that I'm not returning kind of the day or the you know, the day before I fly home.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that wouldn't be great. You know, trying to, you know, when you're not going to book it, trying to explain to Virgin BA or whatever with their customer service, I missed it because my cruise was delayed, isn't going to get you very far.
They're not going to be sympathetic, are they?
No. But I mean, it's, you know, Disney's done great here. They put it right. I think the people on the boat So the people getting on the boat got a far better deal than those who are already on the boat. But I suppose those on the boat got an extra day's cruise. So,
Right.
But no, good luck to them. They've probably got loads of these contingencies everywhere.
I would think so, yeah. They have to have a lot of emergency planning stuff for everything, you know, every possible situation that could happen. Right, let's jump on a plane then fly over to Disneyland Resort Paris, of which Craig, I think, is going to start us off.
I am. Revenue figures have been released for Euro Disney SCA. It's released its figures for the first quarter that ends December 31st. As to be expected, though, during the economic environment we are in today, revenue has decreased drastically with a total reduction of 11%. Resort operation revenue has decreased by 10% to a total of 164.7 million euros. The theme park revenue was down 12%, whilst in the prior year it was a total of 186.1 million. My maths mean that this year's revenue was only 164 million. Hotels and Disney Village revenue was also lost 10%. And dropped from 124 euros to about 112, I should think, euro compared to its previous year. Stop Skyping me. This was due to 9.9% less occupancy in the Disney hotels. But there is a plus side for Disney. Average spending per room did see a small increase of 3%. But obviously, that isn't enough because 3% is less than 11%. And I'm very good at percentages. And now you can all take the mickey. So,
I was going through all this news, I purposely put us in the order so that Craig got the one with the percentages, just because it's very funny to listen to him do it.
Worrying again,
though, isn't it? The fact that, you know, there seems to be that drastic drop of 11%, which I know, you know, you say 11% can't be that much, but it's an awful, awful lot of people. But they still seem to be afloat, and the place still seems to be going well, and the expansion still seems to be happening. But do you think this is just a blip, or do you think this is a concern for Disneyland Paris?
I think what they announced, and we broke it last year at some point, the fact that the decline has been UK-based, and I think it was Germany-based, whereas French visitors had increased, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
So I think their logic behind a lot of things are, do you know what? Attendance has crept up because people haven't travelled. So as things get a little bit better this year, they expect the Brits to come back and the Germans and some of the Europeans to come back. Therefore, you know, they're actually seeing, seasonally adjusted, as they hate to use expression, an increase in such.
Well, it seems to be UK and Germany again who are lagging behind everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the busy period, isn't it? That's leading up to Christmas. That's when it should be jam-packed. I mean, I know I went in January, and I, you know, for what I paid was a reasonable holiday, I think, kind of two nights. But I'm having people contact me, and Kirsty's contacted me, and Adrian contacted me about pricing up holidays. You know, they want to go kind of around Easter and that sort of time. And it's like £900 to go for, you know, two nights, 3 days to stay at the Santa Fe. I mean, that's just a ridiculous amount of money, considering, you know, I pay less than half of that for the Sequoia Lodge. And so I think maybe they're going to have to look at their pricing.
Well, yeah, but I look at the attendance at Mousemeets, just how many people were in the park those days. The fact that they were having to stand at Pirates of the Caribbean at the beginning of December and hand write how many minutes the queue was for Pirates because they just didn't have enough numbers to go that high meant, you know, it was just absolutely rammed. And then again, when I was there for New Year, it was just unreal. Just how many people were there. It was just rammed solid. We just stood at the back of Main Street on New Year's Eve, went, I'm just not even going to attempt to get down there. I'm just going to stay up here and watch the fireworks from up here. But yet, there's this downturn. It just seems very, very strange. As one of the guys I work with who's gone this week, he's taken his four kids and his wife, and they're staying at the David Crockett campsite, basically. And he told me how much he's paid for his four children and him and his wife. And I nearly had a heart attack. I forget the exact amount, but for 4 days, it was a hell of a lot of money. And I just wonder whether Disney need to look at this and say, okay, a year ago, we had an issue with the UK and people from Germany who weren't coming. And a year on, people from the UK and Germany still aren't coming. Where are we going wrong? And I know where they're going wrong, and it is the cost of going over just for a few days. And I think they've desperately got to try and sort this and try and get this rectified.
I agree totally. I think it's sort of fair, the fact that you do look at the accommodation there is horrendous. And even when you do move off-site, you know, you're still paying a lot. You're paying a lot more than you need to pay anywhere else. You know, I'm sure someone could build a massive hotel which is really cheap and actually make a fortune there.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they probably could. Right, just a quick bit of news from me. If you've been over to the Disneyland Paris website recently, you'll notice that it's changed somewhat. There's a new sort of header banner that goes across the top, which on the home screen you're able to go and look at all the different areas. Be very, very careful, because not all of those areas have been linked correctly since the change of the site. Some of them are telling you there's an error trying to find the web page. It is still in transition, though. There is going to be a launch of the New Generation Festival section on the 23rd of February. It's going to be a big launch there for that. So it could be that they're waiting for that section before they upload everything and make sure everything's working properly. But it is nice to see that there is a facelist to the Disneyland Paris website. The only problem is the information doesn't seem to have increased, which is a real shame.
Yeah, some better fan sites out there than their own site, and I think we need to get that sorted.
I think of DLRP Magic.
Yeah, fantastic site.
I go on so often to check things for Disneyland Paris, but researching things for the podcast, that's the place I head before I even go to the official website, which in a way is very, very wrong, but they have a much, much better wealth of information than the official site does.
I think they should buy his site and pay him to do it, because he puts that much effort into it. It's one of the best sites ever done, and I think Disney, you know, that to me is a Disney quality and above his side, and I think it'd do him proud to be part of them, and that they shouldn't have that. Disney should look at it with all their money they're spending and go, hang on, if this fan can do it, why aren't we doing something twice as good?
I think he lives in the park. I think secretly he hides in one of the caves of Big Thunder Mountain.
I think he's Mickey Mouse.
Maybe he is.
With a big keyboard and laptop.
Yeah. So if you're walking around the park, you happen to see a Mickey Mouse around with either a laptop or an iPad or an iPhone, just say, is there any chance you've got a website? Just go and ask him.
So you'd have trouble with the touch screen, wouldn't you, on the iPad?
And you're talking rubbish now, because, of course, he would be wearing an eye mask, so you wouldn't recognise him.
Ah, that's very true. How silly of me.
Exactly.
Right, what you got for us, Jez?
Well, you know, you've done this news and you put things against. I've suddenly realised there's actually a segue between mine. I get Breathless, which sinks. I then get a big storm with the Disney magic, and now I've got a storyline on hurricanes. So all I can assume, there seems to be a bit of a wind theme, is when you thought of me, you thought of wind.
Having spent time with you, Joes, there usually is a wind theme.
Over 40, mate, you wait till it gets to you. So many things go wrong. It's hurricanes, anyway. Hurricanes, the nightclub, which has been there for eons and eons and eons, or about 17 and a bit years. Situated by Rainforest Cafe, will be playing its last tune on 31st of March, as Disney have announced to close its doors for good and put a new Starbucks club in its place.
That's a lie.
That's a lie, that bit. It's closing. I can't believe it. Although, to be honest, I've always said, you know, even in the book, I said, I don't even cover it because it's not a family place, so I don't really care about it. But I'd love to see what they're going to put there, as long as they're going to do something good with it.
Yeah, well, I think there's a good test here. It's been there nearly 18 years. So, in theory, it's not even got to the age of which it can legally drink, which is quite interesting, bearing in mind what it actually is there for. Has anybody ever been to hurricanes?
No, because I've always had my family with me. It just doesn't
Great.
Interest me.
Have you ever been?
I don't know. I'm trying to think if I have. Is it the one that's got a revolving dance floor?
No, that's
that's the one in Pleasure Island, is it?
That's after you've had too many drinks.
Basically, hurricanes. Exactly, yeah. Well, there was two ways of accessing hurricanes, either by paying to go in or by going in if you were staying in a Disney hotel. And we were walking back late one night from the parks, and we said, look, let's just go in and see what it's like. And we went in and we went upstairs and walked through the doors. It was probably about 11 o'clock, and looked in, and it was dead. There was nobody in there whatsoever. There's some really bad Europop playing. And we went, right, should we go in then? Off we go. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why it just isn't. And I think you're dead right, Juz. It's just not a family environment, is it?
No, definitely not. So I've just written abuse about you on Skype.
I didn't notice you were writing abuse about me on Skype. That's the reason I asked you a question, just to see if you were really listening.
Just like, wind you up and off he goes, me and Craig often go out, you know. Yeah. Make a cup of coffee, come back.
What would you like to see in this place?
Do you know what? I'd like to see an expansion of Rainforest Cafe in some ways. There's something, I don't know, there's something you could do there. Take something from the stateside of Epcot and bring it there. How about a menu just all food that relates that my kids can eat would be nice. The non-precocious cafe.
Craig?
Yeah, I'd think that. Or maybe something, you know, different, something like a small adventurers club or just small kind of family-based.
Oh, you know what? That would be brilliant.
That'd be brilliant, yeah.
Wouldn't it, eh? But obviously in English.
But you could bring all the stuff across, couldn't you? That would really annoy the Yanks.
That would be awesome to have our own adventurers club.
That would be brilliant. I would love that.
Would be fantastic.
There you go.
Oh, you know what? That would, if it comes, and it, that means you just you are the god of Disneyland Paris, and you're a genius. I don't
know. Do you know that would make that would be because it wouldn't be touched by and it'd be a family or make it family orientated. I think that would be one of the biggest winners ever there.
Well, I've got two ideas I think might come. One,
sorry,
think,
no, I like eggs. On to the next few bits.
I was going
to
say what you said, which
off
is about
goes,
I am yeah about the extension of Rainforest Cafe. I think it's a brilliant idea because the queues are so big there. Also, what about something like a Disney character buffet? You've got Cafe Mickey's.
Yes, we need them, don't we?
Yeah, you've got Cafe Mickey's. I wonder whether that's something they might think about as well. I'd like to see something a bit different, something unique.
A Marvel cafe.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be cool.
That'd be great.
That'd be a good idea, yeah.
Or a Pixar cafe or something like that.
A Marvel Adventures Club.
Spider-Man comes and does a joke. Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, moving on. Craig, let's head into
the park. You can climb up. You can get inside. From the outside, you can just climb up.
Yeah.
So, Walt Disney Studios, yes? Should we go there now?
Yeah, let's go to Walt Disney Studios, shall we? Before Spider-Man cakes carry.
We're there yet?
No, not yet. We're nearly there.
Yeah, where it's about like a nine-minute walk.
Right.
Ratatouille, more realistic than we first thought. Rumours have been bouncing around all over the internet about plans for a new Ratatouille dark ride. But something has been brought to our attention that makes it all a little more real. A recent blogger who specialised in drywalling has put up a picture showing a very large dome, and by very, very large, I mean 26 foot in height and 30 foot in radius. The photo has Disney Radius Dome Construction written above it and Ratatouille Ride Element below. Although the blogger doesn't know much about the entire attraction because he's a drywaller, he has revealed that this is a prototype and is designed to be used as a curved protection screen. How about that, then?
Yeah, it's good, that.
Someone did put on the boards that they showed that the same sort of shape became just a turret of a building, didn't they?
Yes, they did, yeah. When I first saw that, I thought, why would they make a comparison to that? I never quite understood it. But if it is really a prototype for new Ratatouille Dark Ride, that would be amazing.
Just does look like a helmet, though. I couldn't see how it fit in.
The bit I can't understand is how they make this sort of dome into and project a movie onto it, and what sort of effect it's going to have. That's my bit I'm struggling with.
Which makes it feel like it's not really what it says it is.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah,
that's possible. It may be that it's a hoax, and maybe that he's just put up there to see if he can get some sort of attention. It could be that maybe, like you said, it's a prototype. Maybe Disney have tried it, and it just doesn't work. But if they are prototyping things for an attraction, you know, don't think that this means Disney are definitely going to build it, because they're notorious for prototyping something and then just leaving it, sticking it on the shelf. So that'd be interesting to see whether that...
It's a new...
Go on.
It's the new roof for the Adventurers Club. I've just looked it up.
Right, okay. Of which Ratatouille is going to live inside. Tram Tour. We talked about the Tram Tour and the fact that it's had some alterations to it, and that, you know, maybe the Tram Tour's just not quite as good as we thought it was going to be, and it is going down for some refurb, and we thought that maybe this was going to be the end of the Studio Tram Tour at Walt Disney Studios, and that maybe it just wasn't going to come back. But rumours seem to suggest that maybe that is not correct, and it will open with a few changes and include a new sponsor. It looks like the ride is going to reopen with Sony Ericsson as the latest addition. It'd be nice to see if they're going to update some of the scenery and props as well. I'm in two minds about this, whether I want it to reopen or not. It's sort of in the worst place to expand behind it. There's so much space behind there which you can expand some great stuff. But also at the same time, you know, it's got some nice elements in it as long as they're kept updated.
I think that there's so much other development at the moment, you can't close it because you can't afford to expand further back there. So I'm quite happy it being there. Surprised it's only Ericsson because they've announced nothing but loss after loss this last year. They've really been hit heavy with stuff. So I'm surprised they've taken on sponsorship of it, which makes me think perhaps it's a short-term sponsorship.
Ah, that's a really good point. I didn't think of that. Very, very good point. I know the Orange, who sponsored the film at the moment, that film was very outdated now. You look at all those costumes and things like that, and you don't actually go through costume building anymore.
So, no.
What did you think of it, Craig, when you saw it? Because you haven't seen it for a few years, and it's altered since you last saw it.
Yeah, and it was quite late when we went on, and I found that the narrative between the guy and the girl was really quite annoying. Her being in French, he being in English, and we didn't even get the water effect on it either, because I think it was too cold, so they just put the fire up, and then went on to explain how they did the water effect, and like Kieran's going, but there wasn't any water. So it was all right. I thought it was short. We kind of just kept seeing the dinosaur things all the time. I wasn't particularly impressed by it at all, to be honest with you.
Because the film as well, you still get at the end of it all of the narrators who used to do it in all the different languages who haven't done it for years. So it is about time that maybe it does need a bit of an update. And maybe they're going to, I don't know, Jerry Irons is coming out and Dame Judi Dench is coming in.
Maybe.
No, I don't know. But that's what happened with Spaceship Earth, maybe. Who knows? Hopefully she'll get a better script this time. Right, Juz, what you got for us?
The script was original as Jungle Cruise.
Oh, here we go. Juz, what you got?
Toyland Playland. The construction is coming on well. There's a large central column that will be Toy Soldier Parachute Drop has been constructed and topped off. Something which did get me is that Adam tends to put little pointers that we must make sure his thoughts as well. He's put, the camouflage painted pole doesn't really blend in and sticks out like a sore thumb. I thought, well, yes, that probably sums up the French in any war they've ever been to. never quite grasped the idea of camouflage, have they? hopefully that'll improve with the theming, but although it's meant to be camouflage, the framework for the queue area has also changed from white to camouflage green. So, you know, I think it sounds like it's coming on really well. It's something that we spoke about months and months ago as, ooh, this could be it when we're looking at the Hong Kong artwork exception. I'm chuffed. I think it's great. What an expansion.
Definitely. Have you noticed, though, how Hong Kong seems to have released a lot more information about it, but yes, theirs is much further away from being completed?
Yeah, I think it's because they're actually, what's going to happen is, because France never really sorts themselves out properly, once it's built, they're just going to ship the whole lot across by boat to Hong Kong. Like the Statue of Liberty.
It's just on a big barge, of which isn't actually attached to the rest of Disney Studios. They're just
one day you stand there and you see it starting to move away into the distance.
Yeah, it's just going to say close for refurb, and it's never 20,000 leagues into the sea. It's just never going to come back. Another rumour, Craig, what you got for us?
Yeah, could the World of Colour be crossing the pond? With the expansion of Walt Disney Studios continuing with the Toy Story Playland rumours, as just mentioned, there's possibility now of a new nighttime show. Several years ago, plans to extend the park into the wooded area were seen, but it seems Disney are moving closer to that with the expansion of Toy Story Playland and the possible addition of Ratatouille. Now, these plans saw a longer boulevard being added, with a large lake at one end. Now, no plans have been revealed for the lake's use, but rumours are surfacing that it could be the World of Colour Spectacular coming to Disney's California Adventure Park. Take it with a pinch of salt and don't expect it any time soon. It might not be until 2015 until we see this addition.
It's a bit pie in the sky.
Can I just say, as I assume that Craig doesn't have a house yet, I've just kind of figured out that Craig's just sneaked into Sean's house, into their wardrobe, and is using the internet. Because it sounds like you've actually moved into Sean's wardrobe now, Craig.
Craig, not that good.
Craig has taped himself inside a small biscuit tin.
Because he doesn't he's have a house. In there.
Doesn't have a house. He's just hiding.
I do apologise, everyone.
He's the only Pikachu seller with internet in his box.
He's been selling the ebook version.
He keeps muting us, going, big issue.
Oh, yeah. I've been flogging your book, just PDF. GP download.
Good. Sorry, but yeah.
Is this pie in the sky?
Sorry, I'm still giggling over that.
World of Colour, just, big lake at the end of the boulevard.
Yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things that it wouldn't surprise me. I think now you've got a centralised management for the parks, haven't you? Mm. Which came into effect, was it 12 months ago?
About then, yeah.
I think that it doesn't really surprise me. I think you should start moving things around. Why should you not stop something somewhere and not move it to another park and almost put it on tour? A lot of these things make complete sense to me, this. Move stuff around the world.
I could understand them not putting it in Florida because it is the same country. It's so close. Whereas, you know, what's the likelihood of the same people who visit Disneyland Paris making a regular visit to California? So it's not going to affect traffic in that sense, I suppose. Yes, there we go.
So you thought we're into travel agent mode, didn't you? Effect traffic.
And Craig's not going to answer because he's still trying to get out of the biscuit tin.
Let me on the box.
He started doing mine.
He shipped himself to Florida with Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I got internet over there. I got a house over there. I just don't have anything over here.
You'll have a house in 2 weeks, mate.
I know it's radio, but I am currently playing the world's smallest violin for you. I'll ship it over. You'll be able to fit it in your small biscuit tin. We have got some news that we announced on Iron Orlando, of which I know not everybody who listens to Disney Brit listens to Iron Orlando and vice versa. So, Juz, I think it'd be worth us mentioning this again. Some exciting news that we want to share with you with a project that we're involved in that's based in Orlando itself.
I'd say no if you're not prepared to listen to Iron Orlando. Stop it. Actually, your segue of saying we're on radio, when we're not really, we're on podcast, fits in nicely. As of this Saturday... on ESPN 1080, which is also available on the internet, but AM over there, and a selection of other radio stations in the Central Florida area, two other radio stations, we will be doing a segment between 9:15 and 9:30 EST time, which is about 2:15 to 2:30 in the UK, and then different times throughout the world. That sounds like Craig trying to get out of his box now.
I just think Craig, in my microphone.
Craig, have you found Narnia yet?
Poor Narnia meets the Cockney. All right, what queen?
Is that?
How's she doing?
Anyway, sorry, Jez, as you're giving us that serious announcement.
Okay, I was finished getting out of his box. So, yeah, we're basically be broadcasting. Myself, Adam and Craig will be rotating around, probably have to wait till Craig's actually bothered to get a house because he's going to lose some of his internet as well. And we're doing a little news segment on there every other Saturday to start off with, starting this Saturday, February the 20th. Really exciting, the fact that we'll be broadcasting on Orlando. We're hoping, and Adam, stand me correct here, but basically what we're going to do is bring the latest Disney news, what's going on there. So if you're vacationing over there, you can actually stay up to date and see what you're going to do for the following week, and we'll give you some hints and tips. And if you're not vacationing, just listen to us anyway, because we need some people to listen to us.
Yeah, I think you're right. The idea is that we're just going to bring those bits of news and bits of information that will affect your holiday in some way or another. Or you might, you know, be interested in hearing about what's going on. So it might be Universal, it might be SeaWorld, it might be Disney World, it might be any of those, and anything specific that's going on with regards to that.
Can I just tag on there that this was Craig's idea 12 years ago, as he always keeps saying.
One day we'll let Craig tell that story, but that won't be today. Right then, that's all of our news. So I think without any further ado, let's move ourselves on to a Mouse Meat update.
Hang on, I didn't do it with him.
Oh, sorry, do it now.
Woohoo!
Right, let's move on then and give everybody a bit of a Mouse Meets update. We haven't brought one on the show for some time. Of course, Mouse Meets 2010, sponsored by Castle China, we thank them as always, is going ahead really, really well. As you know, we've already sold out all of our tickets. But we wanted to let you know some more information about certain elements of what is going on with regard to it. Because, you know, it's only fair that we tell you as we find out. Firstly, we need to let you know about a new sponsor, which is toyingplans.com. They're specifically going to actually be sponsoring the karaoke event And we look forward to them joining us and taking part in what's going on. So we thank you once again. But the next thing is to let you know, we said that we would be having the hiring screen at the Odeon, which is exactly what we've done. And we would be looking to put on a Disney classic movie, of which we can now announce is going to be Snow White and the Seven Dwarves. We went right back to the very, very beginning. We thought, you know, very first Mouse Meets in the UK, why not start with the very first Disney movie? So Snow White and the Seven Dwarves on the big screen is what we're going to be doing over at the Odeon on the Sunday afternoon. Very exciting, guys, is it not?
Yes.
Oh, you just like that, aren't you?
You wanted Avatar.
Is that the one with the Smurfs in?
That's the one.
Right.
I wanted the Chinese version of Rapunzel.
The Chinese version of Rapunzel.
I'm sure they've got it. I'm sure we could have got that over if we just looked on the internet.
Well, we just put YouTube up on a very big screen in the Odeon. Okay. Okay, I'll ring them and ask them, see what they say. Also, the Saturday night we want to tell you about as well. We've told you a lot about what's been going on the Sunday, and we said that we had to just firm up a few more things about what was going on the Saturday night. So, firstly, the Saturday evening is going to begin around 6 o'clock-ish. We will firm up times with you. But between 6 and between 7 and 7.30, we are going to be holding our very first ever live Disney Brit podcast with entire audience at the Crown Plaza. I'm going to be there. Juz is going to be there. Craig's going to be there. We're going to have all sorts of sort of different bits and pieces. We're going to have some special segments we've not done before. We want to do some question and answer stuff with the people that are in the audience as well. Although we say it's a live podcast, we're actually going to record it at the event and then we're going to release it at a later date. It won't be live to anybody who's not at the event. This is an event exclusive, of which we will then broadcast later on. But we're all going to be there for that, aren't we?
Me and Craig are in the pub, they're not your doing.
So we'll just make sure you got a long lead.
Okay.
I'll sit with everybody else. We'll give you a long lead.
We'll be on the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire machine.
The bar in reception.
The people want us to do a show, you know. Yeah, I feel sorry. Really, they've come all that way and then we're just going to sit there and bore them.
We did some, we put some feelers out to people about what they thought, and there were so many people that were saying we'd love
how it. Many? Fantastic. How many? Two?
Yeah, two. But it's fine, there's only three coming anyway, so it's two thirds. they were really interested in us doing a live show, and we don't want it to be a show where we sit and talk at everybody. We really do want you guys to
that's as if for Adam only.
Yeah, we want you guys to really be part of it and be involved, and to take part in some of the bits and pieces that we want to do. Craig doesn't know it yet, but Craig's going to be our roving reporter, and he's going to go around with the microphone to all of the audience and go and say hello to everybody. So that'd be quite nice, wouldn't it, Craig?
Oh, yeah, cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Hello, our reporter, yeah. Also, at the same time on the Saturday evening, there will be some extra pin trading going on. We're going to have an area towards the back of the room during the live show of which the pin traders are going to be able to go and do their thing. So they're going to have Saturday and quite a bit of Sunday as well going on. So do make sure you come along if you're a pin trader and bring your pins with you. After the live show, Jess is going to be leaving us. He's going to be going home. There meant to be an R there, but we didn't get one. And we are planning on doing a group meal. Now, this is not included in your tickets. This is not part of it. This is something that we're planning on doing extra. And we've ummed and ahed about where we want to go for this particular meal. And we did some research, and we found three places that might be worthy of going to for a group meal. There's a place called Yum Yum, which is in Printworks in Manchester. They do a Chinese buffet, which is one option. The second one is Frankie and Benny's, and the third one is Pizza Hut. Now, what we've done is put on our forum on Facebook, on the Mouse Meets page on Facebook as well, on some of the forums, for people to vote for what they want. Currently, as it stands, Chinese buffet and Frankie and Benny's are almost neck and neck. Pizza Hut's lagging behind a little bit, but Frankie and Benny's and the Chinese buffet are both pretty close. So if you've not been over and put on Facebook where you quite fancy, or on our forum where you'd quite like to go, come and do that, because we need to begin to think about booking that up fairly soon. So there's quite a few bits and pieces really for Mouse Meets, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, or you can come to me with Mackie D's or something like that.
Come to Jez, who's going to be in McDonald's, just eating burgers.
On my own.
For the
KFC
whole weekend.
KFC bucket for 120 people. One bucket going.
KFC. KFC bucket each.
A bucket, exactly. A KFC bucket full of popcorn chicken. That'll get everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Forget it. We've decided we're going there. Done. That's all the news we have. We will have some more bits and pieces as we get close to the event, but we wanted to give you a bit of an update now so you've got all that information to help you with your planning.
Cool.
Attraction Tickets Direct is the UK's number one ticket provider for Disney, Universal, and the worlds of Discovery Parks. They offer unbeatable prices and expert advice on all the major tickets and attractions in Orlando, California, and Paris. The service Attraction Tickets Direct provides is second to none. Lines are open 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. 7 days a week. Customers receive real tickets, not vouchers, within 7 days. And there are no hidden extras, such as credit card fees or postage surcharges. Now that's what you call great service. Log on to www.attractionticketsdirect.com or call free on 0800-975-0002. Give you the 17th and 18th day of our audio diary together, because 17th day we didn't really do a huge amount. We actually finished our cruise on the 17th day. We again had breakfast, surprise surprise, not this time in Parrot Key, no, this time in the Beach Blanket Buffet upstairs. Disney, if you need to get you off the boat fairly early so it turns around ready for its sailing again later on that afternoon, which means if you're on first sitting dining, which we were, which was 5:45 p.m. it meant that we would have to go back to the restaurant we ate on the final night, which is Parrot Key, and we would have to have breakfast at 6:45 a.m. Now, as much as it would have been great to see the servers we had, because they were excellent, Francisco and Joe, we decided that that was just far too early to have breakfast. So we didn't have a bit of a line. We went up to Beach Blanket Buffet and just had a buffet-style breakfast instead. We got off the boat around 8:40-ish, and got into the car and drove back up to Orlando, back to our apartment where we're staying. And we then had a bit of a leisurely time getting ourselves ready and headed over to Claremont to see good old Craig from the podcast. Went to his villa, went in his pool, ate his food, went to had a barbecue there, and then came back to Orlando, came back to our villa here, and really had a bit of a chill out, relaxing time. Went to a place called Sizzlers for dinner, recommended, really good place, plenty of food going on there, and then headed to bed. The next day, although not Disney, we did go out to SeaWorld for the day. Now, if you've not been to SeaWorld, it's worth going just to see a different way of showing animals, a different way of looking at the sea, a different way of looking at different shows. Most of it was good. We went to see the Clyde and Seymour take Pirate Island, which I saw a few years ago and was really, really funny. It was excellent. Actually, really, really enjoyed it. But yeah, we went to see the show this time, exactly the same, but it was not anywhere near as good as when we'd seen it previously. So we actually left halfway through. The Shamu show, as always, amazing. Kraken, fantastic. Journey to Atlantis was brilliant. But the new roller coaster, Manta. Now, if you've not been on Manta, let me explain what it is. It's exactly the same ride system as Air at Alton Towers. If you've been on Air at Alton Towers, you'll understand what I mean. But I tell you what, compared to Air, this one is a beast. Manta is so much stronger than Air. Moments where I felt like I was lifting out my seat. There was moments where the G-Force pushed me back into the seat I was in, even though I'm flying. Really, really excellent. So we stayed there until about 5 o'clock. Came back, had a swim, and then decided we would go to Chili's, one of our favourite places for dinner. Enjoyed Chili's, and it's now around about 11 o'clock in the evening here. We are going to stay up, I think, for the shuttle launch, and hoping to see the shuttle launch at around 1:30 a.m. So I'll let you know about that on the next audio diary.
Right. Right, around the world in 80 segments, part three, we are heading into Adventureland, where we're going to be sharing with you the rides and the shows that you can find within Adventureland. We're going to go through each one as we did on the show, or two shows ago when we did Main Street USA. We're going to look at each of the individual shows and rides. We're going to tell you who we think it's for, our score, and any other tips about that particular ride. So we're going to start off, we'll head down through Adventureland as if we're coming from the hub. The first attraction that we meet is on the left-hand side and is the Swiss Family Treehouse. So, Juz, first off, who do you think it's designed for and what will you give it out of five?
It's designed for people who don't mind the heat and like a long walk up and a walk down again.
Okay.
I think it's designed for anyone, but sometimes it is a bit hot and it is a trap up there and trap back down. Designed for, I think, you know, I'm going to be pushed here and probably say, I don't know. You got me stumped here because I think it's probably an adult thing. Teens not that impressed with it. I can't even see the tweens being overly enamoured by it because there's so much else to do.
What would you give it, a five?
Ooh. I like it because I like the concept and all the work that went in. And you do waffle on when you walk up your family go, ooh, I'm in there, I know this and this. So, but no, it's probably going to right down there as a family thing. I'd probably say a two or a one.
Craig?
I didn't realise you turn into Adam when you walk into it, though, Jazz.
Yeah, you do. You go in and go, hello, I'm Adam.
It's an odd one, isn't it? I mean, I don't... it's one of those things you go to and you think, oh, you know, this is going to give a little bit of a... know what you know about it, but it's, you know, the kids have never been excited by going in there. At somebody, you know, I certainly wouldn't go in the middle of the day. I've never come across it, but I've heard rumours about some little tricks that cast members play with paintbrushes that they hide in there that you can find, and you can take those to one of the stores and get a little present. But I've never known anyone that's found them or actually seen those. I don't know if that's an urban myth. But I would have thought it's just for those people that just enjoy, you know, the sort of people that like to stroll around Epcot 4 o'clock on an afternoon. It's probably designed for them.
What would you give it out of five stars?
I'd probably give it two.
Okay.
1.5 to 2.
Yeah, that's an interesting one about paintbrushes. I don't know about it for the treehouse. I know they certainly do it over at Tom Sawyer Island. You can come and get it. But I'll have to look into that. I'm quite interested to see whether it does. Me personally, you know, it's for the older set. It's for those people, I would say, probably 30 onwards easily. It's not the sort of thing for your babies, especially if they can't walk. There's a lot of steps. It's not suitable for anybody who is not able to access it. Steps, basically. There is no disabled access to it at all. There's no lift that goes up the centre of the tree. The centre of the Disneyodendron Eximus, in fact, as it is known, out of ordinary Disney tree. To be honest, it's one of these things that I wouldn't do every time. The views from the top are fantastic. You can get some really, really great photos of Cinderella Castle. But I don't know whether it's worth the walk up there just to get those photos. There are some really nice things on the way up, and it's cleverly themed. And it, for those people who don't know, it's linked to the film. Was it 50s or 60s was the film? I can't remember which. About a family who get shipwrecked on a desert island. They use a lot of the boat to build a treehouse within a large tree on that particular island. Score out of five. I think I struggle to give it more than a two, to be honest. Has anybody else got anything else you want to say about the treehouse?
Yeah, the area's not as nice as Disneyland Paris's area.
I would agree.
Well, I do like to wander around and go onto the bridges and go up and around every other area, so...
Craig,
but then it's not as hard. Sorry.
Craig, have you got anything else about you want to say about it?
No.
There we go, nice and short, nice and easy. Let's head over to Magic Carpet. In fact, just before we head to Magic Carpet's Aladdin, just telling you about a few amenities that you can meet as you're going past Swift's Family Robinson. There's a cash machine under the archway that leads across to Frontierland. If you actually walk through that, it's very clever to watch how the theming goes from Adventureland to Frontierland as you walk through there. So the cash machine there, phones, toilets, and the smoking area is on the left just before the treehouse, of which you don't want to go in because it's just wrong. But it's just there on the left just before the treehouse. Right, next attraction, let's head over to Magic Carpets of Aladdin, and let's go to Craig first for his opinion. What have you got, Craig?
Well, I mean, it's certainly improvement over the last attraction, but I mean, to me, this is just a poor man's kind of Dumbo. I mean, I like it, and the kids like it, enjoy it. It's certainly aimed at kind of babies and toddlers, Maybe teens might enjoy it. I'd probably give it a 3 out of 5, I would have thought.
Cheers.
Oh, it's aimed at babies, toddlers, and awkward-looking parents who smile bizarrely and wave a bit. It's nothing more than a fairground ride. I don't rate it. Don't rate Dumbo, that kind of ride. It's just there because it's there. I'd give it a score of 1.
It really is bizarre that it's so very similar to Dumbo, but yet it's in the park, and it doesn't actually bring in the same crowds as Dumbo does either. Although there is usually a line for it, there's nowhere near as much of a line as you get for Dumbo as you head around to Fantasyland. I'm with you on the babies and toddlers and tweens, maybe if you're really pushing it, but I think that's probably as far as you go. You get to your adults only because they're going with the babies and the toddlers. I'll give it a 2 out of 5, but there is one little trick that's really cruel but really great to play. They've got the spitting camels, of which do spit on water onto you. I think they're originally from the MGM Aladdin's Caravan Parade, which they sort of brought over and put onto the attraction. But there is one camel that spits out onto the floor outside of the attraction, and it's always great, and I've done this before. You stand somebody, if they're watching somebody's on the attraction, you move them so they're stood right in the line of spitting distance, and then you stand back and then it spits on them and they get extremely wet, and it's very funny, but they don't find it very amusing at all. Score wise I would prefer it over Treehouse, so I'm probably going to give it 3 out of 5 for that one. If you are in an ECV, you are going to need to transfer to a standard wheelchair to ride this. No fast pass for this, as there isn't for Swiss Family Treehouse either. I think, you know, the lines aren't particularly long, but if you are going to want to ride this attraction, you want to get there early because it is a very slow-loading attraction. Right, let's head over then to what I suppose is one of the two e-ticket attractions of Adventureland, let alone the entire park, which is Jungle Cruise. Juz, let's start us off.
Who's it for? Babies, toddlers, tweens, teens, early young people and old people like me. It is what is fit for everything and for everyone. One of the most awesome attractions in the Magic Kingdom. I'll give it 5 out of 5. It is brilliant.
What is it particularly that you like about it? What really stands out?
I can't remember where I said it before, actually. We managed to go on a tour behind the scenes of it. Just to hear what Bob made of it, for me, that makes it a little bit more special. Yes, the jokes are tacky, but I love all that. I find that really funny. The kids side of it, you know, the animatronics are great. The whole concept's brilliant. It's a bit for everything. It's a bit of adult humour, a bit of kids' humour, and the little sort of like the babies will enjoy the animals and all that going around. I just think it's a lovely ride.
How many stars are you giving it?
I've given it 5.
You've given it 5. Okay, yeah. Right. Again, I completely agree. It's so suitable for everybody. It's accessible on so many different levels. For babies and toddlers who don't necessarily understand the language as much, it's great for them just to be able to go around, to see the waterfalls, to see the animals, etc. As you get to your tweens, you've got your humour in there for them. You know, one of my favourite lines is that, and look here, giant butterflies that grow from 12 inches up to a whopping 1 foot. You've got your teens, you've got your 20s to 40s, your 40 plus. I think it's perfect. For everybody. You've given it 5 out of 5 stars. I'm going to give it 4 out of 5 stars, and there's a reason for this, because I think it's flawed in one way, and that is the consistency of the ride experience. I would give it a 5 out of 5 if every time I've been on the Jungle Cruise I have had an amazing skipper, but every now and again you go on and the skipper has either had a bad day or has been doing this for 8 hours straight and just doesn't quite give it as much. Those skippers that really go over the top, give you absolutely fantastic performance, because that's exactly what it is, are the ones that are really, really make this attraction fantastic. But every now and again, there's just those cast members that don't necessarily give it as much. So I'm going to go 4 out of 5. It does have fast pass. It needs fast pass, because again, the loading of this attraction is not slow as Magic Carpets, but it's not particularly fast. It's wheelchair accessible. It has assistive listening, handheld captioning, and audio description as well. One of my tips, though, is if you are queuing, and by all means, you know, if there's a queue, don't necessarily always think about Fastpass, because the queue is exceptional for this. Mm-hmm. There's so many great little hidden gems. Even at the Fastpass machines, look carefully at the crates that Fastpass machines are made from, because the address is actually for some of the members of the old Adventurers Club. It's a really, really great attraction. Right, we'll move on to Pirates of the Caribbean, because I don't want Craig to ruin the Jungle Cruise.
Before Craig ruins it, can I just say... If you stand on the right hand side, look for the hidden Mickey on the fuselage of the aircraft.
Yes, and also listen out for the headless warriors at the end singing I Love Disco, which if you listen really, really carefully, you can do. It's fantastic. Right, Craig, what do you think of Jungle Cruise?
Oh, here we go.
Oh, please. Look, I remember when we did the joint show with friends of WDW News Today that I got slated for this.
You did,
opinion.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's an opinion, and I'm not... The thing to me is that I think to enjoy it is too complicated. Okay? You've got to have a good skipper, as you said. Yeah, there are so many kind of intricacies in this thing to enjoy it, like you just mentioned, John, all the little things you're supposed to look out for. And you kind of go on there, and it just, to me, is old... dated and not funny, and I just don't get it. And you know, what I'll do, I haven't been on it for a while, take the kids over in April and we'll go on it, and I, you know, I won't say anything to them, and I'll let you know what they think, because maybe it's, you know, you two and me, maybe you're like a 5 and 8 year old, and that's why I'm not getting it. But I just don't find it funny, and I can't be doing with analysing it when I'm on there. You know, I should be able to enjoy it like you on the one that's coming up. So I just think it's too... The skippers are too variable. And so, yeah, it just doesn't appeal to me. It's one of those that I just don't get.
So out of stars, how many are you giving it?
5.
With 5 being the least. It's going for 2. Okay, it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. So 2's 2. It could have been worse. I was expecting maybe a 1 or a 0.
Can I just say, I think you need to go and find out Walt's involvement in it. I think you might change your scoring and understand how much it meant to him.
Well, he originally wanted live animals, and
they were
at the point where they just said, this just isn't going to work. You know, what happens if those animals aren't out? It's going to ruin the whole storyline, and there was no way we can separate these. And, you know, that zebra that is sleeping among the lions, you know, that might happen for real. And how are we going to recreate that sort of stuff? And the zoologist at the time said, look, it's just not going to work. So they went for the, although not animatronic, a lot of them are just sort of hydraulic, I suppose.
Do you know that all the animals that Walt picked were pointed out to him, all the ones he picked were nocturnal.
Fantastic.
And that was pointed out to him. He said, do you know what, Walt, none of these will be awake when your guests are here.
But there are some fantastic lines in it, just absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, when you get to the temple, and he's saying, "Here we have a temple. This was a temple that belonged to Shirley. It was Shirley's temple." And of course, when you go into the waterfall and say that this waterfall was named after the famous, is the Schweitzer Falls named after the famous professor, Dr. Albert? You know, falls. It's just brilliant.
Do you know what? I think it's to go to Magic Kingdom, to get on the Jungle Cruise, and even if you've got the worst skipper in the world, to hear, and here's the backside water, to me, somehow, I don't know why, almost symbolises my first trip there.
Yeah.
And you think, wow, I'm here, and I'm doing this. And I think it's just, the first time you ever heard it was amazing, the whole Jungle Cruise. And that just brings it back to me, and you think, the effort that's been put into this is unbelievable. The theming is fantastic. And to me, Magic Kingdom is only one ride that probably competes with that. So,
and it's, there's just some of the little touches that the class members put in. The last time we rode the Jungle Cruise, as we went through the temple, he picked up the microphone and sang a very haunted version of It's a Small World. And it's just brilliant. Just very, very funny. Has Craig come out of the closet yet?
Bum?
anyway, moving on from Jungle Cruise, and I think we could genuinely have do an entire podcast just on Jungle Cruise. We really, really
just
could.
Just for no Craig.
Maybe one day we should, in fact, do that. Just do a whole episode based on the Jungle Cruise. So moving on then, and I think this is where Juz gets very excited as we go over to Pirates of the Caribbean. And because Juz is going to get very excited, we'll leave him to last. We'll go to Craig first.
Well, I think, you know, probably one of the biggest attractions in the park.
He's come out of the closet.
Is that why I'm excited?
Maybe. I think it feels for absolutely everyone, although maybe for baby they can be a little bit scared with some of the noise in the darkness. I find the queue area very, very dark, actually, and I tend to kind of walk into walls and things because my eyes being not that great. But I love it to bits. I think my downside to it is I don't think it's as good as the Pirates in the kind of other parts, but that's probably because it shoehorned in at the last minute. But yeah, I mean, I do really, really like it. I think, you know, the updates to Dunsfield are brilliant. I could, you know, ride it many, many times and not get bored with it. So I would give it a 5.
So 5 out of 5 for you for Pirates of the Caribbean. I think it's suitable for everybody. It really is. There's so much, again, stuff in it that everybody can enjoy. And the re-rideability factor of this attraction is fantastic. I'm amazed, you know, because we look at this and it is sort of one of the super headliner attractions of the park. And it amazes me that this place didn't open until 74. That originally Disney went, well, we're not going to build a Pirates of the Caribbean. You're very close to the Caribbean already. Why do we want this here? And there was absolute outrage from people. And in the end, they had to get rid of the Western River Expedition in Frontierland and build Pirates of the Caribbean instead. And for me, it is 5 out of 5 stars. It'd be 6 out of 5 stars, it could be. My concern was the addition of Davy Jones and Barbossa and Jack Sparrow might have just lost it slightly for me, and maybe it wouldn't have kept the original integrity. But you know what? Since they've added those, it's only enhanced this even further. No fast pass for this attraction. Doesn't need to have a fast pass. The lines move pretty quickly. If you're in an ECV, you need to move to a standard wheelchair. There's handheld captioning and audio description available as well. It's just a fantastic attraction. And my trip, if there's one of several rides within Walt Disney World that if I have to ride them before I go home, otherwise it wouldn't be a proper holiday, Pirates of the Caribbean is certainly one of those without a shadow of a doubt. Juz, Pirates, go on. We'll sit back and listen.
I can take it or leave it, really.
Seem better. That's not true.
I think it's suitable for everyone. Babies, I agree with Greg, it can be a bit dark and scary, and even the ride can be a bit intimidating from their perspective. I think it would have been dreadful not to have Pirates at Walt Disney World, considering that it bears his name and, in effect, it's a ride that he never got to truly see, but was so much involved in it. I just think it sums up the whole of Disney, every Disney park. I think Pirates of the Caribbean sums up his vision, you know, and his love for it all, the animatronics. And you look at it and you think, hang on, this person had this vision decades and decades ago, whereas a lot of theme parks wouldn't even start or even have nowhere to go with something of this standard. I love it to pieces. I think the additions, I was a bit... No, to be honest, I wasn't a bit, because I thought, fair enough, I think there's progress to be made there. And I think the Pirates of the Caribbean proved you can make a film of a ride. Let's never mention the Haunted Mansion.
I like the Haunted Mansion film.
It is a turn-off-your-brain film.
Yeah, completely.
you know, in which case it should be, you know, Prince Doodah Jr., whatever his name is, type of film. Whereas Pirates of the Caribbean, I think, if the ride had never existed, would still be one of my favourite films ever. You know, it's bizarre that I'm sat here talking to you and at some point I must have stolen this, because I now have a Teddy Pirates of the Caribbean ship with the whole Mickey Mouse Pirates and a lot of them stood on them right next to where the computer is. Poor Kyle would never know it's gone here. But I just think it sums up Walt Disney World. If I could give it 1,000,000 stars out of 5, I would too. You know, we've discussed certain things that hopefully will come to fruition, touch wood, at Mouse Meets this year. We're hoping to get some things around the Pirates of the Caribbean sorted. I just love it. I think it's brilliant. Everything about it's fantastic. And I think we discussed this before. We did it when we went to Disneyland Paris. We rode it several times, I think, didn't we?
We did, yeah.
To me as well, the family, you know, like it and have to like it, because the last ride I'll ever do whenever I go to Walt Disney World, I like to do that, and I like to walk down Main Street, because I think that both of them somewhat Walt Disney.
And I think that the fact that there are they're making the fourth film now really is a testament to just how popular the franchise is and just how Pirates of the Caribbean is going to get bigger and bigger. The next episode, we'll talk about Pirates League, and there's that addition now on top of Pirates of the Caribbean. It's just such a fantastic attraction and is a must-do. You know, if you don't do anything else in Adventureland, you must do Pirates of the Caribbean. It really is well worth it.
Although, can I point out that if you don't do anything else in Adventureland, why do you spend all that money going to Florida?
That's a very good point. But there you go. Right, show then. Well, there's actually only one show, really, within Adventureland, and that is the Enchanted Tiki Room under new management. I think there's going to be some mixed reactions on this one. I just get a feeling. So, Juz, go on, start us off on this one.
Sorry, I thought you were going to Craig first up.
No, you were having a drink, weren't you?
Yeah, I was, yeah. Do you know what? I've been onto this several times and had no queue. I love it. I think it's fun. Does it appeal to? It appeals to babies, toddlers, tweens, teens, 20 to 40 and 40 plus. If you want to go somewhere which is slightly cool and have a fun time, I think it's it. It's just a good laugh. I love it. And I know exactly what you're saying because a lot of people turn and go, oh, you're kidding me. But no, if there's no queue, and quite often there isn't, I would say to every family, make sure you pop in and see it. It's just nice.
Craig.
I totally agree with you, Jazz. I love it. I love the Tiki Room. I think it's something that everyone should do at least once. And then if you don't like it, I think you should go in and do it again and make kind of yourself like it. it's got great, you know, it's got a very kind of catchy tune that everybody will be singing now. They're listening to this segment and Adam can play a bit of music in the background, I'm sure. I think, you know, the jokes are actually quite funny. I think it's very, you know, it's very delightful on the eye to sit and watch. And it's cool in there. You get a good view wherever you are sitting in there. It's not one of these, you know, where you have to kind of rush in and be pushed out of the way. So, yeah, no, the kids always want to go and see it, and I'm quite happy to take them in there, to be honest with you. Appeals to everyone. I think it's a nice family fun attraction.
I think it appeals to everybody. The only concern is for younger children when they have the sort of thunderstorm and it gets a lot darker, you've got to be very aware that they may find that slightly frightening. But again, I think it's good for everybody. I really like the pre-show with the two birds at the beginning, the sort of two agents, which are great, which are really, really funny. I'm sort of torn between more at this attraction because I think I really like the original. And as a Disney, you know, you Disney purist, this is Walt Disney Tiki Room originally. And there's a lot of people who were up in arms over they've ruined a classic and they put in, you know, more modern characters with Iago and Zazu. And I was sort of like, it's one of those attractions where you secretly really like it, but also it's like, oh, I can't believe it's not the original Tiki Room. And I think there's a lot of people like that in the Disney world who secretly are like, I actually quite like the Enchanted Tiki Room, but on the outside are like, no, I can't believe they ruined the original Tiki. And I think you're right, you need to go in and see it a few times before you really appreciate it properly. There's some great little bits and pieces within it. You know, the Tiki God that comes up halfway through, the animatronic for that is fantastic. The movement of the faces on the totems around the outside with their singing at points that people don't necessarily always see are really, really good as well. And there's some like hidden little gems in there all the way through. Has everybody heard the line that comes right at the very, very end as you're leaving the theatre?
Is that the one which says, get out quickly?
No, it's after that. It's Iago, right at the very, very end. You've really got to hold back. He turns to whoever's left in there and says, I'm tired. I think I need a nap. I'm going to go to the Hall of Presidents.
That's not very nice, is it?
Has nobody ever heard that line?
No, you've got funny.
Next time you go, you've got to hold back right to the very, very end because you will hear him say it. Genuinely says that right at the end of the attraction.
Oh, I'd have gone to Punchy Bear Jamboree for my nap.
Although I don't know whether it quite fits anymore now the Hall of Presidents is a lot shorter than it was, but still, brilliant gag that the Imagineers put in right at the very, very end. Well, we haven't given it out of 5 stars. I'm going to go for a 4 stars. Just.
I'm going to go for a 3 stars, but just tag on to that, what you said about Disney purists. You know what? Walt Disney said keep moving forward, so get over yourself and move with the times. The only question I want to ask you two is the fact that I've been there quite a lot of times and there hasn't been a queue. I don't know if you're going to say the same, because in some ways it's almost tucked away a little bit that you can miss it. Have you, when you went there, did you find it was heavily queued or not too bad?
No, it wasn't too bad on my last
trip. Do you think it is tucked away?
I think it's not as obvious. It's quite open in the sense of where it is, but it's not as advertised in the fact that there's not a huge sign out the front. It's obviously quite a big building, but yeah, it is quite...
Because everyone's either legging to Pirates of Caribbean or up to the mountains, aren't they?
I think before they put in the magic carpets of Aladdin, it was a lot more exposed. But since they put that in, there's a lot of people who stand around there to take photos or stand there because there's a camel that spits and that sort of stuff. It's become a lot more hidden than it used to be.
Excellent. Great.
I'll give it a 4 anyway.
You give that a four. Craig's giving that a four. Okay, so we're looking at four, five stars. Well, okay, so that's pretty good going. I expected it to be lower than that from one of you two, but it didn't happen, which is great. Okay, let's just quickly look at some of the sort of attractions, sidelines, that sort of stuff, really. First thing is Shrunken Ned's. There's a Shrunken Ned Junior, I think it's called Junior Jungle Cruise, which is right by the side of the Jungle Cruise itself. I don't have a price on how much it's cost. Basically, they're miniature Jungle Cruise boats that you're able to drive around some of the icons that you see within the actual attraction itself. And
more fun than the Jungle Cruise. I hate this, and I hate the gun bit where people have to pay extra money. Just get rid of it. It's tacky.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree with you. I can't remember how much it is. I think it's just over $1, something like that.
It's $1 or something like that, isn't it? And that's all. You know what they should do is make it so you don't pay any money, but it's actually a boat on rails that shows you the Jungle Cruise going round. So you go, wow, that's awesome, like a miniature one, but then you go on the real thing.
That would be cool. Yeah, that would be cool. It's all right. I've never been on it. I've seen it, and, you know, maybe Craig should, if we ever do a Mouse Meets out in Florida, Craig should do the alternative Jungle Cruise, of which he has his own boat.
And script,
the whole lot. And he does a little Jungle Cruise tour for all of us.
He could do that while we're over at the Dole Whip.
Yeah, that's good. That's coming next episode as well. We could be on that for a while. Right, one more thing just very quickly to talk about. in Adventureland, that of character meet and greets. There are character meet and greet opportunities in Adventureland. Lion King characters do hang around as you sort of come down onto the right. They sort of hang about in that area, although it's not an official area. I have seen people like Rafiki in that there.
It sounds a bit iffy, that, doesn't it?
Yeah, hang around there. So knock-off balloons and slightly out-of-date popcorn.
Can I just you in a Mickey hat? Go on. Go away, Simba. Leave me alone. Genuine moments.
You've been told about this. A Wimbleway, you. Right, okay. Stop it. They are found in that particular area. Jack Sparrow, now, I don't know whether Jack Sparrow is still about. I've been trying to find out about this. There was a cast member who last year was playing Jack Sparrow in that area, fell and hit his head, and unfortunately later on died because of the repercussions of what happened. And as far as I know, there hasn't been a Jack Sparrow appearance there since. I don't know if anybody knows of anything any different, but I know he used to be there.
Do you know, I haven't heard at all since that incident. Do you know what I loved about that is the fact that the people, I mean, were very good, the people doing it, but you know, it really did help you getting into the Pirates of the Caribbean because people stood around there and you just whizzed into the ride.
Yeah, yeah. They had the, once upon a time, they had the sort of pirate tutorial, which I'm really, really shame that they've got rid of that because it was a great little show that they used to do there, and it was right outside the entrance to Pirates and it was just fantastic. Very funny. Kids absolutely loved it. I suppose it's the Jedi Training Academy of Adventureland, but that was a fantastic little show. But the one character you can find regularly within the parks, and I'm someone please help me as to why you can find Peter Pan and Wendy and those lot in Adventureland outside Pirates of the Caribbean.
he's
got
lost.
An answer. Yeah,
but he's one of the lost boys, isn't he? He doesn't know where he is.
I don't understand why he's there, but that's where you can find Peter Pan, in Adventureland, outside Pirates of the Caribbean. Of course, go to City
Hall. Pirates.
Yeah, maybe he's going to fight them. I don't know.
So,
If you are looking for character meet and greets, though, of course, you can go to City Hall, and you can check your Times guide as well. Right, there you go. There is our opinion on rides and shows and other little attractions in Adventureland. We will bring you on the next section, the refreshments or food, dining, etc., and shops that you are able to experience while in Adventureland. Thank you, boys. Thank you, Craig, for coming out the closet. There you go. There's Adventureland.
And there's only 76 more to go, folks. Sorry.
Well, that rounds up this episode of the Disney Brit Podcast. Thank you once again for joining us. I thank, as always, our sponsors at Attraction Tickets Direct and Complete Orlando. You can find them at attractionticketsdirect.com or completeorlando.co.uk. Thanks to Juz and Craig for once again joining me through the show. It's nice. I think, you know, the new format, the way we're working now with all of us through the majority of the show is working really nicely. We'd like to hear comments about that as well. What you think of the sort of slight alteration to the way we do the show. And you can send us emails at podcast@disneybrit.com. So questions, comments, suggestions, all of those, please do email us there. The competition for the tickets for Mouse Meets is well underway. We've got several entries of which are now available for you to go and vote over on the forums. DisneyBrit.com/forum. Go to the Mouse Meets section and there's a voting section there for you to vote for the two ideas. One of them, well, they're both very, very, very good ideas. One of them has just so much effort put into it. It is astounding. And I tell you what, I would certainly ride that attraction, but I'm not telling you which one that is, but it is truly awesome. So do go over and look at those two there. You can, of course, ring us on our voicemail 0121 288 2858 in the UK, 407 545 7980 in the US. Check out our website, disneybrit.com, and that's also disneybrit.com/forum. Check out our ironorlando.com as well. We've got our blogs over at Iron Orlando also. Make sure you check all of those out. Check out our Facebook pages and the Disney Brit fan page and the Mouse Meets page. Yes, we seriously do have a lot going on at the moment. Check out Facebook, as I've said, to friend us up. Myself, Juz and Craig. You can find us all over there. Come and say hello. And also leave us reviews on iTunes. It'd be great to speak to those of you who have left those reviews. You know, we really do appreciate it. People who haven't listened to the show, gives them the opportunity to find out a little bit more about what the show is about. You can also find our YouTube channel, disneybrit.com. We have all sorts of videos, the vidcasts and all that sort of stuff go up there fairly early on before we release them as a download, so please do go and get those. Check out sister podcast, Iron Orlando, and remember, this Saturday, we are going to be doing the first segment on ESPN Orlando, ESPNFlorida.com. You can listen to it online. It's a morning show from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. We're going to be on about 9:15, so that's about 2:15 p.m. UK time. If you want to listen to that, we'll be on there doing our little thing. So let us know what you think about that as well. And that really is everything. So that leaves me with nothing other than to say that the next edition of the Disney Brit Podcast is going to be available on Wednesday, the 3rd of March. So until then, I'll see you.